Today on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, we're talking about creative ways to raise money for down payments and closing costs. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Welcome to episode number 15. Episode number 15, today we are talking about creative ways to raise money for down payments and closing costs. I got a lot of great ideas I want to share with you, some things you may know about, some you may have already been churning in your head, and some, hopefully some new things for you. So, first of all, thank you so much for tuning in. If you are a regular listener, you know that my name is Silas Lindenstein. I am a real estate agent in the Seattle area. And if this is their first time tuning in, hello and welcome. What we do here on this show is I educate and empower home buyers across the nation on the best way to go about buying a home and how the process works. And you don't even need to be in Seattle to benefit from this. You can take everything I learned to use in your state. Some things differ over there, and you can talk to your local real estate professional about issues that arise with you and see how the terms change. But otherwise, most stuff I'm bringing up here, you'll be able to utilize. If you want to hear just the step-by-step of the process of building a home, of buying a home, I should say, the first 10 episodes are basically in order, step-by-step, how to buy a home. So just download those. Or you can also, if you rather read it, you can just email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com, and I can email you a copy of the guidebook I have. It's called The Ultimate Guide for Buying a Home, and aptly titled. And I've already emailed that off to some folks who emailed me. And if you are a listener of the show and you enjoy it, please send me those emails. It's great hearing from some of you. It makes it all feel worthwhile. And if you are in one of those areas outside of Seattle, in another state, and you are looking for a real estate agent, please go ahead and email me. I can refer you to agents all around the nation that, I'm connected in various ways to people all over the nation. So I might know someone in your area that I would recommend. So go ahead and email me again at silas@silasgetsreal.com, or you can even text me at 206-351-9230. There we are. Let's get into this though. I love talking about this topic, creative ways to raise money for down payments and closing costs. So I think this is one of the big deterrents for people, right? They're wondering, how am I going to get money for a down payment? And how am I going to get money for the closing cost? And closing costs kind of do include down payment. When we say closing costs, that's how money you'll need to close. Usually that's included. Closing, if you're not sure, so there's a down payment. Let's say you are doing a 5% loan. So you need 5% of the cash, 5% of the price of the home, right? And then there's going to be some added fees. And I can't tell you what they are because they vary from person to person. But figure, it could be another, it could be $3,000, could be $5,000 more money that is needed. Now, we've talked before, earlier in episodes, on the way you can take closing costs and roll them into your loan. So let's say, for example, and this is a way to help. This is one way. Number one, get the seller to pay for closing costs. So let's say you have $5,000 in closing costs in your contract, and let's say you want to do a full price offer at a house that's, say, $300,000. You would write in the offer. You're going to write, to give them that $300,000, you would actually write, we will pay you $305,000, but we want $5,000 in seller paid closing credits. So basically they're kind of giving $5,000 back to you that you don't actually ever hold on to. You just, it takes off from what you need to bring in. So, and let's say your closing costs were $4,500. So that wipes that out. You may not get the extra $500 back. Talk to your loan people. But your closing costs are taken care of. Or if your closing costs were $6,000, now you only need to bring in $1,000 for closing costs. So asking the seller to do it. And that does depend on your market. In different markets, especially when it's a buyer's market, they're more apt to do that. The only reason they wouldn't want to do it is like they pay taxes off of the price number. Without that, you know, they're going to get taxed on 305. Usually they're paying commissions off of that amount. So, you know, it costs them a little extra by doing that, but it's a normal process. I did that on my first home, actually my second home too. I did it on both. So it's pretty normal, especially first time home buyers. They expect that. Your offer is always stronger without it. It's a stronger offer without it. So if you have the money and you can afford to pay them, you should. But otherwise, you know, don't feel bad about it. And if it gets you into a home, that's the most important thing. Okay, so we'll say that number one, get the seller to pay the closing costs. Number two, gifts. You can get gift money to put toward a home. Now, I know you're like, well, Silas, it's not that easy. Yes, I believe that, but you can also send out a Christmas letter. You can send out or just talk to people. I think you'll be surprised if you tell people, well, you know, we're looking at going to be trying to buy a home. We're just trying to raise up some money for it. You'd be surprised how many loved ones in your life might offer up something, see what they can do. I work with buyers, new buyers all the time that tell me, you know, we only have a couple thousand ourselves. And after we've looked at some homes, their, you know, parents end up saying, hey, I've got 5,000. You can have that. Now, the important thing is it's got to be a gift. Okay. It's got to be a gift from the family member or from a friend. Say they're going to give you $5,000. They will probably need to write a letter that says that this money, because the bank always wants to know where the money came from. The letter has to say this is a gift with no expectation of receiving it back from them. So they want to make sure it's not a loan, because then that's a debt and they need to know how much debt you have. Okay. So gifts. Ask people. You'd be surprised. Okay. Third one. This is a big one, I think. This is the third one is the big one, because I can't believe how many people forget about this when they first set up a 401k. A 401k. Now, okay, I'm not an accountant and every plan is different. So make sure this is allowed with it, with the one that you're in, the one that you deposit your money in. So 401ks for first time home buyers, which is usually defined as not having owned a home in, say, 5 years by most people. So sometimes it's their second home. But for first time home buyers for their primary residence, most 401k plans allow the buyer to withdraw from the 401k with no penalty. No penalty. So usually there's like, say, a 10% or 5% penalty for withdrawing early. There is no penalty if you're using those funds to buy a home. Now, you still have to pay the taxes on it. The taxes that are due that were deferred until you withdrew it, those you would owe on it. But the penalty is not there. And so here's what opens up huge with this, huge, is if you are at a company that matches your 401k contributions. So from checking with other people, it seems like it's pretty common, maybe like a 3 to 5% or I've even heard upward of 10 to 12% that the company is willing to match, say, 5% of your yearly salary to your 401k. And let's say you're not contributing, or if you're just contributing like 2% and you want to buy a house in a year, right? Let's say you make $50,000 a year. And so you're contributing 5% of that, $2,500 into your 401k a year. If your company matches that, will match you 5%, then that is another $2,500. That's now you have $5,000 at the end of the year that you can use for closing costs or for a down payment or, you know, whatever for the house. Well, down payment or closing costs, those are your two options. So, yeah, so matching. If they are matching, I mean, basically you can get your work to kind of do your down payment. I mean, especially if you're not contributing it to it already or not maxing it out, go max it out if you want to buy the home. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do. So max it out and get that. That's free money they are giving away. Okay, and then other way, gig economy income. Now, sure, you can also just, so you have a full-time job, right? And you're using that salary and that's what you're going to be paying your mortgage off of. Yeah, you could go out there and get a part-time job, you know, anywhere. They're out there. Or you can get a gig economy job. That's stuff like Uber, Lyft, you know, Grubhub, Postmates, different kinds of things like that. Now, all these jobs, even the part-time one, they won't count as income as far as your debt-to-income ratio. Need to have been doing those for 2 years at least, and then they average them in to make sure that to see how much you're making. So then they can count them as income. But let's say you just want $5,000, right? You can go out there and do Uber on the weekend or Uber Eats or Grubhub, whatever one of those sparks an interest. There's even like a lawn mowing one or Rover. We'll go walk some dogs for some weekends. You can earn several hundred dollars upwards to, you know, personally, like the last time I went out driving on weekends for Uber and Lyft, when I did that, I was, after expenses, I was getting like $800 on a weekend, you know, and do that for a month. And suddenly you've, you know, you're pocketing $3,200, you know, keep all your receipts and everything so you can take the tax deductions later. And the banks will count that and allow you to use it as closing costs as long as there's documentation of how it got deposited. So that's what they want to know. They just want to make sure it's not some weird business that's losing money or it's not money laundering. They just need to verify where the income is coming from. So, you know, go deliver pizzas, whatever it takes, you know, because I was talking to someone about this today, because even if you have put $5,000 extra, right, it may not knock a lot off of your monthly payment, like what, like $32, $35, maybe $40 a month. But that $40 a month, you know, over 12 months, $480 a year, like you pay so much in interest over the course of 30 years that compounds, you know, that it's a huge savings. If you can bring in $5,000 that you didn't otherwise, you wouldn't have otherwise had, that $5,000 could be saving you $20,000 down the road. Don't do the math on me like that, but you know what I mean. It just grows in so much. That's why you can knock down a mortgage from 30 years to 21 years just by making one extra payment, a full extra payment every year. It knocks it down so much. So it is valuable to get that income in any ways that you can and help pay for that. They don't have to be permanent jobs. You're just, you know, it's kind of a race to the end. You're like, I just need this extra money and then we can buy a house. Or closing is coming. I want some extra money to put down at the last day, on the last day, you know. So there it is. Those are my ideas. If you got any more ideas, feel free to email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. I'd love to hear your ideas on creative ways. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm saying gig economy, but there's so many ways to make money, right? You can flip stuff on eBay. You can referee soccer games. I do that. It makes decent money doing that on the weekends. Referee any sport. There's so many ways to make extra money. And if you're listening to this podcast, I believe you're probably a dreamer already. You know things can happen. You know you can buy a house. It doesn't look like a dream that's too far away from you. So you're listening to this podcast, so you must believe in that. So find all the different ways that you can make money. And if you want to just brainstorm, go ahead and email me, you know, or give me a call. So hey, that's our program. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Silas Lindenstein. I'm a real estate agent with Skyline Properties out here in Seattle. And it's always a pleasure talking to you and helping you on that home buying journey. So, and if you are in the Seattle area and you're looking to buy or sell a home, please go ahead and give me a call, 206-351-9230. Or you can email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com, and we'll get together and see how I can better your life. Okay? Thank you so much for listening. Happy shopping.